find our text for this evening in the chapter which we read, Book of Revelation, chapter 20, and verses 11 and 12. Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. What are the greatest events in human history? People will give different answers. Some might say the Industrial Revolution, the invention of the steam engine. Some might say the invention of the computer. Some might say two world wars, the atom bomb. The understanding of the structure of a cell and the genome. But the Bible tells us what the greatest events of human history are. And first, of course, is creation. God made all things out of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. God created man on that sixth day from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life, and man became a living soul. That was, of course, the first and greatest event in human history, our origin. But then comes the next great event, the fall. Prior to it, everything was beautiful, lovely, harmonious. Peace between God and man, fellowship in the garden, life in all its fullness. And then man sinned. And man fell into a state of sin and misery. And all around us we see the misery, the pain, the suffering, the sweat, the toil, the stress, the sickness, the aging, the death, tears. And we see also the sin that man has fallen into. Sin being multiplied on every side, every commandment being broken, and every wickedness being practiced. So man was created, perfect, happy, at bliss in paradise. Then the fall, sin and misery. The next great event in human history was the flood. Almost to the complete destruction of the human race, only one family saved. What a lesson that was about God and his holiness, about sin and its consequences. And then we come to what is the greatest event in human history. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. All history is dated either BC, before Christ, or A.D. after him. The birth of Christ. What significance it has. All mankind on the way to hell, without hope, and God became man to save. To save sinners. The wonder of it. That God took human nature, The God against whom we had sinned became one of us, lived in this world, died on the cross of Calvary for sin, to save sinners, to bring many sons unto glory, to transform men and women who were rebels into saints, to make men and women his bride, to enjoy his love forever. He died for our sins, and the third day he rose again, triumphant over death, having paid the price and demonstrated by his resurrection that salvation had been accomplished. Then he ascended up to heaven on the 40th day, and then on the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came. The Spirit who applies to us the redemption purchased by Christ. What a tremendous event that was, or sequence of events. God became man, and as a man, he died for us on the cross. He opened the way of salvation. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you will hear, if you will obey. The wonder of it. God, the great God of heaven, taking our room and taking our place, satisfying his own justice, punished in our place as our substitute, and then sending his disciples into all the world to proclaim this gospel and to call men and women to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus, to flee from the wrath to come, and find peace with God through Christ. And we, of course, now live in the last days. There's one more great event still to come. And that is, of course, the end of the world. The judgment. The division between the righteous and the wicked. Come ye blessed of my Father. Depart ye cursed. And that judgment day is fast approaching. Soon it will come. And what will happen to you on that day? Where will you be? In Christ, saved, secure forever. Out of Christ, lost, damned, miserable. It's important for us to prepare for the judgment. Prepare to meet your God, says the Scripture. Seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He can't always be found, and he won't always be near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So I would like us tonight to think about this great event of world history that is yet to come. The judgment. What could be more important? What could be more important for us at evangelistic meetings? What could be more important for us in a world where men and women run on in sin and do not keep thy law? Where men and women are, as it were, racing down the motorway to hell. Consider the judgment day. Where will you be? Where will I be on that day? Well, first of all, I would like us to think about the judge. We're told here, John says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. From his face the earth and the heaven fled away. The judge, he's on a throne. He's a king. He's the greatest king. A great throne. King of kings, Lord of lords. It's a white throne. There's purity here. There's real justice. There's no room for bribery. There's no corruption. No corrupt judges or clever lawyers. It's a great white throne. Pure. Perfectly pure. Be sure of this. You'll get more justice than ever you expected. Total justice. There has to be a judgment day, of course. We live in a world where the wicked prosper, where evil men seem to get off with their wicked deeds. Psalm 73 talks about this, how the psalmist was perplexed when he looked around him. And he saw evil men, wicked people, when he saw thieves and immoral people, and they seemed to do so well, and they became rich and successful. And there he was himself, and he was struggling on, as it were, from one difficulty to another. There has to be a judgment day. There is much injustice in the world. I'm sure you've seen it and witnessed it yourself. Much injustice. But at the end of the day, it will all be sorted out. Don't worry. Everyone will get perfect justice. And we're told about how terrifying this judge is. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. We're told in the Old Testament about God descending upon Mount Sinai and the mountain shook and it smoked and there were flames of fire and the great Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. It was a frightening sight. But if it was frightening when God descended upon Mount Sinai, how much more frightening it will be when the great white throne is set up and the earth, so terrified, flees away. Why does the earth flee away? Because it has been corrupted by man. It has been tainted and stained and spoiled by you and me. And the earth itself flees away from the face of this holy judge, who is as a consuming fire. And even heaven, the heaven of heavens are not clean in his sight. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. There will be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. A perfect world where nothing unclean will be found. No sin will enter. No serpent will come with his temptations. And there's the judge. And he's sitting upon the throne. And he's looking. He's looking at the individuals in the dock before him. And everyone will stand alone on that day. There won't be a mother or a father to stand with us, a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, a friend or a neighbour. We'll stand alone. And we'll stand before this awesome judge whose eyes penetrate into our very being. And we're told that the judge is Jesus. John 5:22 says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So the judge is going to be Jesus. And you might think, well, that's encouraging, isn't it? That it's Jesus who's going to judge me, gentle Jesus. But friend, you forget something that the book of Revelation talks about. The wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever thought about the wrath of the Lamb? Have you ever seen a lamb angry? But here's the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The one who came in love and died on the cross. The one who suffered so much abuse. The one in whose face you spat. The one whom you nailed to the cross. The one whom you laughed at as he died. The one whose gospel you have despised. Trampled underfoot his blood. The wrath of the Lamb. Oh, how gracious Christ is to us today, reaching out his arms to us and saying, "Come unto me, look to me, trust in me. Come all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can you escape who despise Christ and his gospel? John said, when he saw Jesus, "I fell at his feet as one that had been, as one that was dead." John, the great apostle, John, the beloved apostle, John who was so godly and so loving, and when he met with Jesus, in Revelation chapter 1, he was so shocked, he fell at his feet as one dead. How will you be as you stand before him who is a consuming fire? How will you do in the face of the wrath of the Lamb? Infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He knows every one of us. He knows everything about us. He knows everything. And he hates sin. And one sin deserves hell forever. And how many sins have you committed? The judge. The judge who is so loving, so gracious, who went to such lengths for our salvation. The one who offered himself as a sacrifice, and the one whom you have despised. The heaven and the earth fled away, and we're told in this book of Revelation of a prayer meeting that took place on the judgment day. And who will be praying at the prayer meeting? Muslims will be praying. And Hindus will be praying. And Buddhists will be praying. and flee church, unbelievers will be praying. And they won't be praying to God. They'll be praying to the mountains to follow them and the hills to cover them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. What an awesome prayer meeting. Will you be amongst those calling upon the mountains to follow you and to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb? The judge. Let us now think a little about those who will be judged. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell, or the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. The dead will all be gathered there. The other events, great events in world history, none of us were there. But in the last great event of world history, every one of us will be there. Some people will be there, have been dead for thousands of years. Some will be there whose bodies were burnt and their ashes scattered across the oceans. Some will be there who have rotted away and it appears that there's nothing left of them. The sea will give up their dead. There was a famous minister in Point 100 years ago. And on one occasion he said, though you would die at sea, and though crabs would eat your body, and other crabs eat those crabs, and other crabs eat those crabs, and other crabs eat those crabs, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no escape. Everyone will be there. The Queen will be there. Gordon Brown will be there. Prince Charles will be there. And Camilla and Diana. Obama will be there. Putin will be there. Osama bin Laden will be there. The Whinies of Glasgow, the Beggars of Edinburgh will be there. The Savages from the Jungle. And the Crofters from Lewis. Whoever you are. Herod and Pilate will be there. Judas will be there. Abraham and Isaac will be there. Adam and Eve will be there. The whole human race. Hundreds of thousands of people, billions, gathered together. And there's no hurry. It's eternity. And eternity has no end. The day has come, the day which will never end. There will be no night. The judgment day, leading into an eternity in heaven or in hell. I saw the dead, small and great, the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Christians will be there. And unbelievers will be there. You will be there and I will be there. Do you think about it? Do you ever think about the great white throne? And Jesus on that throne. The Lord Jesus. The King of Kings. The one of whom we were singing in Psalm 1, who scatters the wicked like chaff and blows them with the wind. The one of whom Psalm 2 says that with a rod of iron he will break in pieces like a potter's vessel, smashing to smithereens. Are you ready for that day? When will it be? We don't know. One thing we know is that it will come sooner than you or I expect. It comes as a thief in the night. For some it will come with death, and then the judgment will follow later. For others it will come as the end of the world. We don't know when the end of the world will be, but the Son of Man comes as a thief in the night. I remember full well, many years ago in our house in Glasgow, as we slept in bed, thieves coming into our house. If we knew they were there, if we knew that they were going to come that night, we would be up and prepared. But we didn't. The thief in the night. Are you ready? Are you ready if he comes tonight? How quickly death can come. It is appointed unto men to die, once to die, and after that the judgment. We're told that in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came. Life was going on as it had always done. Noah seemed so foolish, building an ark and going into it when there was no sign of rain. But he wasn't foolish. He was listening to the word of God. As it was in the days of Lot in Sodom. They were having their breakfast, some of them, that day. Sitting down to their cereals. Others cooking their bacon. Some having a long lie in bed. When the fire and the brimstone came down from heaven, destroyed them. Will it come to you in the same way? When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. How awesome. Sudden destruction. Yet a little sleep. A little slumber, a little folding of the arms to sleep. Leave me when I have a convenient season, when it feels appropriate, when I'm ready for it, then I'll turn to the Lord. Too late. Too late. Think of the 10 virgins. They were all very much like one another, weren't they? Dressed in their bridal wear. There they were, and they all had their lamps. And they all slumbered and slept. And then at midnight, the cry, he's here. Go ye out to meet him. And five were wise. They had taken oil along with their lamps. They were ready. And five were foolish. They had no oil. Will you have oil in your lamp? Will you have oil in your lamp when Christ comes? Will you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you have the Holy Spirit tonight? If you don't, you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, it doesn't matter what you are. You're lost. Too many people are waiting for the convenient season. Too many people are saying, plenty time. One day, I'll seek the Lord. One day I'll make my peace with Him. And that one day never comes. The judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne. Those judged, you and me, and everybody in the world today, and everyone that ever was. But then, thirdly, I want you to look at the evidence. The evidence that's used in the trial. We're told that the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The books were opened. And what's written in the books? Everything you ever did. The good things and the bad things. Everything you ever said. The good things and the bad things. And even everything you ever thought. What a size these books must be. But size is no problem for an infinite God. He's immense. And He's got these huge books on every one of us. Nothing's forgotten. Your good deeds. Do you have any good deeds? What good deeds do you have? Well, I've done this, and I tried to show kindness to this person. Tried to do this work of charity. I kept this commandment on that occasion. But why did you do it? Was it self-righteousness to justify yourself? Was it to show off? Was it pride? Were your motives correct? The Bible says what is not done through faith is sin. And whatever you do, if it's not done in faith, trusting, looking, depending upon Christ, it is sin. Even your best deeds are sin. So if your best deeds are sin, what about the rest? How many evil works? How many evil words? And then think of all the lusts and the greed. And the deceit, and the evil thoughts, and the anger. The books will be opened. And then there's another book, which is called the Book of Life. And what is the Book of Life? It's a register. A register of all who are entitled to eternal life. And who's entitled to eternal life? Well, the Bible tells us, doesn't it? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So whose names are in the book? The Book of Life? Those who have the Son. Who have Jesus Christ. Their names are in the Book of Life. Do you have Christ? Have you received Him? Have you claimed him by grace as your own? Have you taken him by faith into your heart? Is he yours? Have you received and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ freely offered to you in the gospel? The book of life. And unless we have Christ, we do not have our names there. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in death, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So first the book of life is consulted. And on the basis of that, it's come or depart. But then, the other books are consulted. And the heaven that we have, that we're going to get, is dependent on what is in the books. Judged everyone according to our works. Have we been laying up for ourselves, fellow Christian, treasures in heaven? Are we accumulating on this earth, treasures on earth which we will leave behind, but forgetting about the vital importance of treasuring up for ourselves, treasure in heaven? And then what about the wicked? It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you, Capernaum. Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than you. Chorazin, Bethsaida, places where Christ was, where he taught, where he performed his miracles. You see, there's gradations in hell. Gradations in heaven. And Jesus tells us that those who will be in the lowest place in hell, in the hottest fire, in the most miserable damnation, will be those who have had the greatest privileges. Those brought up in an island like this, brought up surrounded by Christians, taught the Bible, possessing the scriptures, hearing the preaching, and after all that, rejecting it. How awful. How awful to think that the worst place in hell will be reserved for a free church continuing member or adherent. What a thought. So privileged, so blessed, so well taught. The Lord's so good to you. And yet, lost. Just think of all the sermons you've heard. Just think of the Bible you've read. Just think of the prayers made for you. Just think of the worship in your home. Just think of all the instruction and advice and example that was set before you. Parents, friends, family, loved ones. And yet, still in your sins, still unconverted, still not born again, still following the devil on the way to hell. the evidence and the verdict. Those whose names are in the book of life, come ye blessed. Those whose names are not in the book of life, depart ye cursed. Come ye blessed. Come into heaven. Come to your rest. Come to this place of joy. Come to this place of bliss. Your labors are over. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. Come, dwell with me. Come, reign with me forever. Come into that place where there's no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no illness, no death. God himself shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall lead you to living fountains of water. Blessed forever, made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Oh, friends, what a great future there is for us in heaven. What a blessed inheritance. God knows how to make us happy. And God's great concern in eternity will be to make us happy as his children and as the bride of Christ. Come, ye blessed ones. Come, you happy ones. Come, my children. My beloved. Dwell with me forever. Worship me, glorify me, and enjoy me throughout the endless ages of eternity. How wonderful. But then the verdict on the others. Depart to that place prepared for the devil and his angels. To that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. What a terrible place. How awful it is to see someone in pain. Maybe you go to a hospital and you see them there and they're in agony. And they're given some painkillers and they help a bit. But whatever pain we have here, how tiny it is in comparison to the pain of hell. And there's no painkillers in hell. There's not even a drop of water. Not even a drop of water to cool your tongue. Tormented in that flame. The agony of a lost eternity, weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. All the regret, all the sorrow, all the misery, all the despair, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And there's a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And there's no crossing over between the two. Well, friends, it gives me no pleasure to talk to you about these things, about the awfulness of hell, about the misery of a lost eternity. But our Lord Jesus Christ often spoke about these things because he loved sinners. And he longed to see them saved. And there's nothing I would rather for you more tonight than to see you saved. If you go on in your sins, I can assure you, there's the lake of fire ahead. But tonight, you're still here as we say, on mercy's ground, still there's an opportunity of mercy. Still the Lord is saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are, look to me and be saved. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so was the Son of Man lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a gospel. There's a Saviour. He died for sinners. And if only you would repent, if only you would turn to him, if only by God's grace you would put your faith in him, you would be saved and your sins pardoned forever. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die when there is life with God? Why will you perish when Christ is stretching out his nail-pierced hands to you tonight? As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Make your peace with God. Make it tonight. Tomorrow might be too late. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Turn to him, and you will not perish. He himself assures you in his word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What more encouragement could he give you? And what will you do tonight? Go home as you have done from many another service and forget about it all. Maybe have a few thoughts, but then back to work, back to pleasure, back to sin, running on the road to hell. Is that the way it is with you? Or will you tonight make sure that tonight is your last night, unconverted, your last night amongst the wicked, your last night Christless? There is a gospel, glad tidings of great joy, good news for sinners. Christ died and rose again. Turn to him. Flee from the wrath to come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But if you don't, I will witness against you on the day of judgment. And so will others in this church, that you've been warned again. One more warning, and you've refused the gospel. How awful. Going to hell with your eyes open.